Now, the subject of the tax is gains, profits, and income. Those are kind of related, but they're all a little bit different. But then income is derived from wages, salaries, and compensation for services. Compensation is something different from wages. Wages is something different from salaries. There it is on the screen, Section 22.
That's from the 38 Act, not 39 Code.
But it becomes Section 22 of the 39 Code.
Right.
And that's the way it was for all the way back to 1916. That definition, of course, it changed it a little bit, and they dealt with the taxation of what they were talking about in reference to specific federal officials. But that phrase up there, gross income includes gains, profits, and income derived from salaries, wages, compensation for personal services. That's enough for you to understand something about the concept of what income is.
And
Salaries
Larry.
are different from wages. Salary is payment for a work performed over a something like a week, a month, or a year. Well, a wage is payment for work done on the hourly basis. But both those, so those two things are different in that respect. They're both payment for work, with the time frame being a little bit different. But then what is, most people get wages and salaries. Well, then what in the world is compensation for personal service? Now, the reason why I've posted on my website all the old tax regulations, you can go back through all those tax regulations are word searchable. So I would encourage people to, if we're going to deal with learning something, go back and try to find, when the Secretary of the Treasury and the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, they get this law from Congress and they've got to start enforcing it. And they got 10,000 people that are going to be enforcing this law. They've got to have one uniform construction. They can't have 10,000 different views about what this law means. So they came out with regulations. That was the unified position. Everybody's going to have to, enforce this law according to these regulations. And then if you find the definition of compensation for services, you'll be real surprised. But, I don't go around telling people what it is. I think people learn something. If you have to go out and dig it up yourself, then you learn it. But it's been my experience that, when somebody just asks you a question, then you provide the answer. Too often it just goes in one ear and out the other. It's had no impact. People have learned nothing. They learn something if they go dig it out. And, I've been trying to get people to dig out, take a look at those old regulations, like go further up the page, Joe. The regulations further up the page, you're go all the way up to the Revenue Act of 1918. That would be good. Ah, okay, good. So you can download the Revenue Act of 1918 by clicking on the blue right there. And then the Revenue Act of 1918, the commissioner comes out with the Regs 45. There's two versions. There was one in 1918 and one in 1920, but they were regulations 20, 45. But you can download those and they're all word searchable. And all you have to do is once you download, type. They're words there. You can search through this PDF image. It's word searchable. And then type in compensation and where all the hits comes up, you'll soon find, what is I maintain is a real good definition of compensation for services. And it's something that people don't know anything about. And, today, everybody in the tax industry wants to, what I make is compensation for services. Section 61 starts off with compensation for services. Isn't that the first item, Gary, in Section 61, compensation for services?
Yeah, compensation for
And
labor.
everybody, oh, that's what I make. Well, then your belief that compensation for services means what it commonly means is dead wrong. And the commissioner never agreed that the definition of compensation for services is the common definition. No way in on God's green earth. Oh, down there, Article 32. Now, is there a way you can kind of move it over? Because here on my screen, I am looking at the compensation for service. Yeah, okay, great. It's kind of blocked there. Now, look at that. We're no determination. Now, to me, this is a real important first sentence where no determination of compensation is had. until the completion of the services. The amount received is income for the taxable year of its determination. Well, if you have an agreement, you're going to work and get paid, then that's something that's not compensation for services. Compensation for services is, you know, a good way of looking at the concept is like tips for waitresses. You go into a restaurant, there's no agreement between you and the waitress for leaving any tip. There's no agreement. It's just what you want, you know. You leave a tip. There was no contract. Well, that's exactly what compensation for services is talking about. But when you go down to here and take a look at all the other examples of compensation for services, like commissions paid salesmen, compensation for services on the basis of the percentage of the profits, commissions on insurance premiums, tips, retired pay of federal and other officers, and pensions or retiring allowances paid by the United States for private purposes are income to the recipients, as are marriage fees, baptismal offerings, sums paid for saying masses for the dead, and blah, blah, blah. You know, those, and you can follow this, and that concept right there, you know, those words, you know, you can follow, find the definition of compensation for services in the later regulations. It remains basically this in this format. And it was in this basic format all the way up until, you know, it came time to come out with the regulations for the 1954 code. And, you know, once you have this background and then you follow it forward, you know, you can see, you know, this pattern remaining there as the definition for compensation for services. But, you know, I have found one very unique definition of compensation for services that the commissioner came out with. And boy, I just sit there. That guy is brilliant. And I agree with the succinct definition of the commissioner about what compensation for services is. He hits the nail on the head. But that's all I'm going to say. And the reason I don't tell people is you know, just like you're doing right here. When I was digging into this stuff before we had it all computerized, hey man, we could make copies of something. Well, you make copies of something and then you roam, you know, rummage through, you study the copies of the things that you make, the statutes and the regulations. You got to do it by hand. Now we don't have to do that. Now you can get everything that I dug out of the law libraries and scanned and converted to text. It's all posted over on my website. And now all you have to do is download it. Now all you have to do is devote a little bit of time to investigating and studying it. And I think you can walk away with some very profound conclusions. But, you know, if somebody just tells you, that's a lazy way. I don't want a bunch of lazy students. I will point you in the right directions. And once you go out and you do it on your own, then you have that great feeling of, wow, I discovered something. And that is the type of thing that will stay with you forever. You just tell somebody something and they won't remember it in the morning. Just like they can't remember what they had for breakfast yesterday or lunch yesterday. They won't remember what you told them, you know, something very important tonight won't be remembered. It'll be remembered if they go out and do it themselves.
Fact. That's a fact.
Would you agree, Gary?
Yeah, it's a fact, Larry.
Do you guys have any other comments or on any of the questions?
Well, let's see. Joshua, you know, he has a question on 7701B1B.
Questions.
That's the definition of a non-resident alien. 7701B1A is a resident alien. And you know I just to throw this out, you know, the definitions, the Title Y definitions are 7701A. And, you know, back when we were kids a couple of years ago, there would be spelling bees, and you'd have a spelling bee, you'd have to say the word, spell the word, and then say the word, right? Well, say, for example, 7701A1 is a definition of person. And so what Congress did is they said, here's a word, definition, person. Person means and includes. So they repeat the word that's being defined, and they say person. Person means and includes. But you go over to 7701B1B, and the definition of a non-resident alien doesn't start off with, you know, non-resident alien. Non-resident alien means, it doesn't start that way. The definition is non-resident alien. And in 7701B1B, if I can make it real clear, it says an individual is a non-resident alien if such individual is neither a citizen of the United States nor a resident of the United States as described in 7701B1A. So instead of saying person, person means an include, non-resident alien, you know, a non-resident alien is, they don't say that. They just say an individual is a non-resident alien if. So that word individual, we can, you know, that's probably the most misunderstood word. I mean, I can't tell you how many trials I've worked and sat in on where the prosecutor walks up to the defendant and says,
oh, yeah.
You're an individual, right? You know? Or they'll recite, you know, 1.1-1. It says, you know, the code imposes a tax on the income of every individual who is a citizen or resident of the United States. And, you know, the defendant's sitting there, you know, going, what in the world? You know, what? And, you know, and then you get people say, you know, I'm not an individual, you know. And there was, unfortunately, that's what Sherry Jackson did when she was on trial. Is, you know, he said, you know, and you're an individual. And she goes, you know, I'm not an individual. But she just kept repeating, I'm not an individual, I'm not an individual, I'm not an individual.
Yeah, but she had the ready answer for that. But Cherry's problem was is that she was listening to her friends during the night who were changing her testimony.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then been down that road before. Big time. Well, you know, but when the prosecutor, when she repeated it, you know, half a dozen times that she's not an individual, the prosecutor just kind of turned into the gallery and said, hey, you're a married individual. Your husband's right here in the courtroom. You know, you're a married individual. So that word individual is got to be the most misused word of art in the entire Internal Revenue Code, in my opinion. And when you get to the definition of an individual, there is a definition in the regulations, 1.1441-1. We won't make you go there, but it just says an individual is a foreign person. It's a non-resident alien. And you see, you know, resident alien is an individual. But these definitions and what Larry's been saying about how they use these words, compensation for labor, personal services, you've got to learn their language. It's a foreign language. And once you learn it, though, and it's not that difficult, you just stay in tune with it.
Joshua says, I'd like to know if I'm able to set up an audience with President Trump. Will all of you be interested in participating and, in fact, taking lead in the discussion of what needs to be covered?
But, you know, I'd like to see that happen.
Yeah, very much. I mean,
it's kind of like when we were doing, when Bob Schultz was on the hunger strike and he has the ear of the Bush administration. And the Bush administration says, oh, well, you know, dealing with the income tax is a low priority item. Well, of course, the whole federal system, the validity of the federal income tax and who it applies to is a very, very low priority item. Why? Why, Gary? Why is for the federal government the validity and application of the federal income tax an extremely low priority?
Because the farm animals are already trained to go to the barn.
Yeah.
I say that with jest. But well, yeah, it'd be great. Hey, we get an audience with Trump. I've written him three letters. I've got some friends that sent him letters. Boy, if we ever get a phone call and he'll agree to meet with us, count me there.
Yeah.
I'd even probably wear slacks.
I keep wondering if Trump, with all the pushing that they're doing, where they actually have California, I guess Gavin Newsom just signed a bill, targeting Trump's state
tax returns.
And isn't New York on the verge of trying to do the same thing? And, I keep wondering if they're going to keep pushing Trump so much relating to tax issues that he'll just go, find me some facts. I don't think you're showing me all the facts. And then, our show will come up on his radar.
Hopefully. We need to tweet him.
Yeah. If people could just en masse tweet him that really there's truths here, President Trump. I mean, granted, he filed the tax returns and he signed them. But, if he could spread the word about the deceit, that would be a dream come true.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
I'd like to know, we've got a regular crowd that apparently, especially Joshua, he is here with bells on every day.
He's on fire.
I would like to know what the people that are listening to us would like to know about. So, Joe, is there any way that they could send to you items that they would like to see us discuss?
Yeah, why don't we do this? I'm going to, let's put out the request. Anybody chat any issues that you'd like to have discussed in the near future, or in the future, but hopefully in the near future, depending on how many people chime in. Go ahead and chime in with just a very brief topic that you'd like us to cover, or if it's a topic that we've covered in the past that you'd like us to drill down on more or repeat, we're happy to do that. So go ahead and do that. But in the meantime, I was going to show everybody a way that you can help in a very inexpensive way, okay? I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. I have a lot of the shows that we've done in the past posted here at brighteon.com. All right. And if you go to brighteon.com and you type in IRS, the three letters that we all love so much, you'll see that's an easy way to come to videos that relate to the IRS. And then you can see here the Agent for Truth. I might be able to type in Agent for Truth, but it didn't work before. You type in IRS, the Agent for Truth is the channel. And then you have all these videos here, all the way back. And what really helps, and it doesn't cost you anything but a little bit of your time, is to watch the videos if you haven't already, and also to encourage other people to watch them. And some are here that are a little more dry than others, but there's some good ones. And the ones that are more fun, if you only like to watch fun videos. There's a few here that are fun, like the IRS commissioner given the chance to provide the law requiring payment of income tax. That's a great one. But the more views that this page gets, the more videos that I can post. All right. And if we don't get that many views, it's going to take us forever to get permission to post more videos. So it really is critical for you to go to brighteon.com. Now, I also have a link at agentfortruth.com. Go to the radio show menu item. And this is where I post each week the link to the live show. And then beneath, I have the older shows linked here. Okay. Now, I think I've actually got up through 15 or 16 up on Brighteon, so I've got to put the link here. But the point is to show you where you can go to to find links to the videos or go directly to brighteon.com, type in IRS or The Agent for Truth, which takes you to the channel. And then you have all these old videos and just watch them. It's very simple. Of course, supporting Brighteon store is also great because they've got great products. But this is a little way that you can support us and spread the word about the show. So meanwhile, did anybody chime in with things they'd like to have us talk about in the future?
Yeah, Mark raised a good point, Larry. Why not revive Save a Patriot?
Okay, and remember, this is to catalog stuff to talk about in the future, because so that's a good one. Larry address 86 and 83, which I believe he'd love to do. 16.
Yeah, my version.
10 million informed and passionate bodies. Yeah, let's just order that right up. Real judicial reform, another good one. All right, well, why don't everybody just continue to chat those, and I'll save the chat here in a few minutes, but let's maybe kind of wrap this up. So Gary, any final comments for this show?
I just want to thank everybody for attending, and look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. And if you want to invite other people, just bring them on in.
Fantastic. Larry?
I agree with Gary. I'd like to see this weekly program kind of grow and get a lot more people interested. And once you get a crowd of people, a group of people interested in a particular issue, then you can begin to bring about change. And that's what I'd like to see with this.
And we want to do that.
Yeah.
We do.
Absolutely. Well, I just chatted to everyone. Gary is the bravest of us all. He actually gives you his email address. It's Gary, G-A-R-Y, at NPN. That's Nancy Paul Nancy, npn.net. Larry's website that I've got, I think I can still show that relatively easy. No, maybe not. Oh, yeah. We had looked here at article 32. So let me go back track here. Larry's website, Dixieland Law Journal or Beecraft Briefs can be typed into a search engine. We prefer startpage.com. And Sean's website, Sean couldn't be with us this evening, but seanoconnor.org. We'll work to get to Sean's website. My website again is agentfortruth.com. And be sure to watch those videos. And like I say, oh, and you can also, I don't know if Larry has a contact on his, but you can go here to the contact page. And, you know, if you didn't get a chance to chat us with a future topic that you'd like talked about, you can go ahead and send it here as well.
Well, I got a blog over on larrybeecraft.org. A lot of people send me a lot of stuff through that.
Okay. I've never mentioned that. LarryBcraft.org. Why don't we just put that in here and see what happens, just so that it's here on the video for a later viewing. Okay. Look at that.
But see, there's a blog, and a lot of times I don't even respond to it, but, you know, people send me stuff through the blog.
Okay. Well, we'll try to remind Larry to check it for next week, and we will definitely catalog, keep track of any recommendations, any particular requests that you might have for the four DJs here. And otherwise, I think we're going to call it a night. Been here about
call it a night.
Pardon me?
Call it a night.
Okay. All right, everybody. Well,
I'll see you next week, guys.
Thanks very much for joining us, and we'll
see you. Take care, Larry.
Adios.
Amigo.